Thank you so much. I'd like to encourage our young fathers today. You know, if you get my age, it is what it is. We've done the best we can. But you younger fathers, you young men, you got a work to do. I met a young man Friday who just was, his grandfather introduced me, said he's just going into seminary, and he shook his hand. I said, what do I say? I said, you got your work cut out for you. That was my advice to him. And you young men today, you got your work cut out for you. It is not getting easier with the shape of the world and our culture and all the things that are going on. But let me tell you something. You are God's man in your home. You're there. For better or worse, you are Him. So be a father. Do the best you can. You know, take care of their physical needs. Don't forget the spiritual needs. Amen? That's what we need in America. Fathers who would also look out for the spiritual welfare and upbringing of their children. Best when it's worked that way with mother and father. But we don't live in a perfect world. Sometimes we have to do with what we have to do with. Amen? Do your best, fathers. God bless you. And you can get it done. You can. All right, I don't have a traditional Father's Day sermon to you, but I do have a word of encouragement, hopefully. The Word of God should encourage us, amen? It should. It should build us up. Should lead us to Christ. Chapter 14 of the book of St. John, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. The words of our Lord, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. I'm going to go ahead and read a couple more verses. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse number 2 for our subject text. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. For you. You know, the gospel message is very personal. It's for you. And listen to me today. Everybody don't know this. Everybody don't believe this. There's plenty of room for you in heaven. You ever thought about that? There is plenty of room for you in heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Some people say many rooms. I like many mansions. Many. There is plenty of room for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace and for your goodness. Thank you for those who assembled with us here today, and thank you for those who are watching by other means. We're thankful, Lord, that we have the ability to go out into the homes of those who are unable to be here. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit be with us and move among us. Let us hear the Word of God. Lord, help me to be faithful, to preach the Word of God. Be led of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would encourage us here today. I pray if there be anyone who is listening or here today who's not yet felt the personal invitation of the gospel, that today they might respond with faith and repentance and come to know Christ. Lord bless. Meet our every needs. God be praised among us today. In Jesus' name, amen. There is plenty of room for you in heaven. Now, if you're saved, you'd probably say, I don't know what he's talking about. Everybody ought to know that. But let me tell you something. Everybody does not know that. I actually meet people who, for some unknown reason, feel that maybe heaven is just not a place for them, that maybe they would be out of place, that maybe it's just not a place they would be welcomed into. That maybe somehow it's too crowded and they wouldn't be able to make it in there. That it's for other people. Some people say, well, that's not for me, but I want you to hear the truth of the gospel today, that it is for you. That it is for you. Jesus here is talking to the disciples, but that word comes on down to us. They are sad. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. They are sad because he has shared with them that he must die on the cross. I'm going to die. You know, it brings sadness when we lose our loved ones. You know, 2 years running and I ain't over the loss of my father. These things bring us sadness. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many men. Listen, there is plenty of room for you in heaven. And he says, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. You know, you can trust the Word of God. You can trust Jesus' words. You know, we're living in a land today where it's become acceptable that you just really don't believe what people tell you. You know, you almost live in a time where you expect people to lie to you. And that's terrible in our society. You have to make an allowance in what people are telling you and all that because you can't depend on it to be the truth. But you can depend on God's Word. You can depend on what Jesus said. And he said, if it wasn't true, I would have told you. And he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come again if I go. And he went. He ascended back to high. And he said, there will be plenty of room for you. Plenty of room. You won't be crowded. Well, there's scriptures at times that, you know, he did say that few there be that found it. In Matthew 7 and 14, few there be that find it. That doesn't mean to exclude you. Well, Jesus is saying that there's only few going to be saved, few there be that find it, and so that automatically knocks me out. A lot of people feel that way. Jesus is not inserting that in his word to exclude you. He's only making a statement about the general population and the fact that the multitudes of people will reject his claim as Messiah and Savior of the world. That the numbers of people will actually reject the good news of the kingdom. Gospel means good news. And we ought to accept it as something good. I have good news for you today. If you have thus far in your life felt excluded, felt like that somehow or another heaven is not a place for me, I have good news for you. Backed up by the Word of God, it is a place for you. There is room for you. It is room for you. You need not be of the number of those who reject his claim to Messiahship. The nation rejected Jesus' claim as Messiah, and they crucified him on the cross, but in doing so, his death satisfied the righteous wrath of God, whereby we are saved. In all our sin and shame and weaknesses and failures of life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus covers all that. That satisfies the righteous judgment of God, and we can be free of our sins and at peace with God and have a place awaiting us in heaven. What a deal. Who, if people would just think about this, who in their right mind would reject this? That we can have an eternity in bliss. Paul said it's not even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him, that we can't imagine the beauty of heaven. And yet it is a place for us. Yet there is plenty of room for us. It is not overcrowded. We're living in a world that's getting crowded. Have you noticed? Friday, I had to go to the post office. And I had some logistical problems with that because I had a chore to take a trailer home, and I had trouble, couldn't get it unhooked, and so that trailer I had made it impossible for me. You know our post office, if you visited there, we have logistical problems getting in and out of that too. It made it impossible for me to get in there, so I whipped in up Terry Leonard's nice parking lot there by the square, plenty of room, wasn't but one or two cars there. I'll run over to the post office on my feet. I'm a runner. I run 3 miles a day in this heat. I'll run right over there and get that mail and be back in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. It didn't happen. 12 o'clock on a Friday, have you tried to cross the streets there in town by the courthouse square? There was a line of cars all the way over the hill going back west on Main Street. They were wrapped around the courthouse out Eva Road. They were coming from every direction. And finally, I just had to do like a wild dog crossing the road. And there are very few people that even yield to you here in a one-horse town, just getting into the post office. Boy, I thought, boy, there's a lot of people in this little town. At least there was on a Friday. Crowded, crowded, crowded. Heaven ain't going to be like that. There'll be plenty of room. My family just got back from a Disney cruise. I did not choose to go. Which president was it said, I choose not to run? Was that Calvin Coolidge? Somebody. He said, I choose not to run. Well, I choose not to go on that. You know why I choose not to go? Crowds. I've been before. There are lines, and I'm at the age to where I don't like standing in lines and airports or getting on ships and doing all those things. I've done it, and so I said, thank you, no, I'll stay at home because of the crowds. Crowds. Wow. Heaven ain't going to be like that. There's going to be plenty of room. In my Father's house are many mansions. Listen, that tells me that there's room for me and there is room for you. And church, let me tell you something, there is room for all those that we can go out and win over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to have the attitude, hey, it's about loaded up. Heaven's about full. We can pull back on our mission of evangelism. No, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is room. There is room for all. But sometimes people feel it's not for me. There's not a space for me. You need not be of the number who will reject the gospel. And that's what he's talking about when he said, few there be that find it. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 22, It says, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And we know why he was going to Jerusalem, right? To die for our sins. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Is there just a few people who are going to make it? Somehow does that mean like maybe that heaven ain't got room for a lot of people, and a lot of people feel that's not for me? Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are without. He is talking to the Jewish nation, who thought that inherently heaven would be theirs, based upon who they were, based upon their heritage as being what they call sons of Abraham. And Jesus said, you're going to be disappointed, a lot of you are. But he did say, you know, you're going to be excluded in your present condition, but there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Hey, and some of you guys ain't going to make it because of your present attitude. But guess what? There's going to be a lot of people there. They're going to come from the east, the west, the south, and the north. They're going to be a lot of people there. In Matthew chapter 8, telling a similar story, the similar story in Matthew 8 and 11, it says, and I say unto you that many, we're not talking about just a few people, but there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Don't you want to be one of those? Don't you want to be one of those? Well, listen, there's plenty of room for you. There is plenty of room for you. In the book of Revelation, in chapter number 7, Revelation 7, 9 through 12, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and 24 beasts fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might unto God forever and ever. Amen. And I beheld a multitude, a great multitude, which no man could number. But it ain't going to be crowded. There's going to be a lot of people there, but it ain't going to be crowded. People say, well, I don't want to be around a crowd. It says that hell is enlarging itself. There'll be plenty of room for you in heaven. Revelation 21:15 through 18. just gives us some symbolic ideal about the huge size of heaven. And it talks about the New Jerusalem, a city in measurements of a cube. Just think about this. It's going to come out to be like 1,400 miles high, wide, and deep. That's a pretty good town, isn't it? I think there's going to be plenty of room for you in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 15 through 18. And he talked with me. He that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length of it as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth of it, and the height are equal. And he measured the walls thereof, and 140 and 4 cubes according to the measurement of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall was as jasper. The city was pure gold and likened to clear glass. You want to miss something like this? The city of pure gold that he says is something like 1,400 miles high. There used to be an old hymn that sang, "Build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land." Listen to me. There'll be no cabins in Glory Land. Be mansions. There'll be mansions that have a foundation that will not corrode. Pure gold, precious stones, and all of these things. Something that is lasting in this earth. Everything is passing away. I don't care how good of a house you construct and build, it must be what maintained. The elements work on it. You have to have roofs. One of our largest customers is GAF Roof and Shingles. They cannot make enough roof and shingles. People no longer put on roof and shingles and you have to replace them. They don't last. You know what gets a house usually when it goes down? The roof. When the roof caves in, the house is gone. There is always constant maintenance upon the things of this world, even our bodies. Even our bodies. They wear out. But heaven is eternal. Now, we won't know how to behave for 1,000 years. We'll have to have some adjustments, won't we? Because we're so used to things passing away. You know, I walked through the cemetery this past week on homecoming. All my friends are here. The older you get, you walk through there, all my friends are about gone, you know. It's the way it is, and we get used to that. But in heaven, that there'll be no death. There'll be no more parting. The things of heaven will be eternal, including the mansions. We won't have to be putting roof and shingles on. We won't have to mold the lawn. We won't have to. It'll be perfectly manicured. Won't require maintenance. Just to enjoy it. Just to enjoy it. We don't want to miss that. No cabins in the corner of Glory Land for you. Don't think about it. Oh, Lord, just give me a little corner and a tent in Glory Land. No, the best. The Father said when the prodigal returned, hey, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, give him the best. Let's fix him up. God wants to give you the best. You, not other people. You need to hear the invitation. You need to accept God's plea and His offer to you. Do you realize what God is offering you? Everlasting life. The glory land, heaven, which is heaven is a real place for real people. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. There's room for you in heaven. There's room for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. There is plenty of room for you. But, there's not plenty of time for you to linger. There is plenty of room for you there. There's no reason. Jesus has done the work. He carried the load. He done the heavy lifting. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for our justification. Satisfied the wrath of God. Offers grace and mercy and forgiveness. Think about all the awfulness that we've done. The guilt, the shame, the brokenness. God no longer sees, but He sees Christ's blood. He sees what Jesus done. All the sins of humanity were placed upon Christ on the cross. That's what He done for us. But we don't have a lot of time to make up our mind. You see, this ship's going to sail swiftly. That's why we have to make up our mind. There is not time to linger and to wait. Good intentions. You know, people mean to. Someday, I witness to people who are getting on up there and will admit. Some of them already have their gravestones laid out and know that death is imminent. Know, yeah, it's coming one of these days, but I'm not ready, but yet I'll think about it. Hey, you don't have time to think about it. We think when we're young, well, I've got plenty of time. I'll never forget what an old country preacher said one day. Old people die. Old people do die, but young people can die. So we don't have time to wait. There is plenty of room in heaven for us, but we do not have plenty of time to linger and to decide and to wait and wait, wait, wait. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Time is swiftly passing. The Bible says, for He saith, I've heard thee and in time accepted and the day of salvation have I secured thee. That means help thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That means that now is all that we have. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not promised. All you have is now. And we have to be good stewards of now. And we simply can't put it off. Can't put it off. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus told a parable about a man who had great possessions and he had a plan. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger barns, and then I'll live to enjoy it. I'll say to my soul, He has much goods laid up for many years, and now I can relax and live the life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy the fruits of my labors. And the Bible says, in that night, God said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then what will become of the stuff you're leaving behind? We don't have time to wait. James says, what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little while and it's gone. We do not have time to wait. The good news is there is plenty of room for us. There's a place for you, is what I'm trying to tell you, if you could just see that. My Uncle Harry Watson told a story one time in the 50s, he and Aunt Margaret went with my grandparents to Gatlinburg. That was before Interstate. Very few here probably have made the track to Gatlinburg. I'm one of them as a child. And old Highway 70, it was a trip. We could carry a picnic lunch, but you could get there. Pre-I-40 days, Harry and Margaret went with my grandparents in the 50s to Gatlinburg. Harry says sometime during the night he was awakened by my grandparents doing a little fussing and chattering. He roused up and he said, "What's going on here?" My grandma Susie, some of y'all remember, she said, "He's going home." "What?" My granddad drove through Gatlinburg and all the motels said, "No vacancy." And he turned around and was going home. Wasn't room. They finally turned around and found a place, but heaven will not be like that. There is a place for you. For you. There is an old hymn, and Brother Gary, you can get ready to lead us in a song of decision here in a minute. We used to sing this song at a church I pastored during the 80s and the 90s. And it comes from this verse right here. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is thirst say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Whosoever will. Some people say, "Well, I don't know, heaven ain't for me somehow or another. It just doesn't seem like there's a place for me there." This is what this is about. I'm telling you, there is a place for you in heaven. There's plenty of room for you. Jesus died for you. That song he used to sing was called, "Whosoever surely meaneth you," the personal call of the gospel. I want you to know today, if you have thus up until today never felt a personal invitation, never somehow, because I don't know, it just didn't seem like it ever was for me, and I'm here to tell you it is for you. "Whosoever will surely means you." That's the word of God that I have for you. Now let's stand today and sing. If you need to respond to the call of the gospel, if you want to claim your place in heaven, you can do that here today. We'd be glad to help you. Shall we sing, Brother Gary? At the cross, Christ will meet you there, whom while he waits for you. Yes, there is more safe within your care than you can lie upon you. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you there is a place for you in heaven. I want you to know that. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming here today. Is there any announcements or any word of praise or anything here today? I'd like to say thank you to our visitors who come. Those who watch us on Facebook, it has been my pleasure to share the gospel to you. Today is Father's Day, and we have the day off for family time. We'll be off tonight. Is there anything else? The Lord bless and be with you till we meet again. If all minds are clear, Brother Michael, would you dismiss us?